Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so episode 4 of the Cool Shit Podcast. And back by popular demands, we have Gina from High Stakes Films.
From High Stakes Films. I got begged to be on here by Gareth because I was that
That's
good.
That's not true. And if it was true, please don't say that in public. And Sibba from Salford. How are you going?
Good. I'm just here because Gina's here.
What do you mean you're just here? Because That's just rude. Like, and we have the editor of the Cool Shit Podcast, also known as the Little Chief, James. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, Gareth. I don't like being called the Little Chief, so I was doing well until you said that, and now you give me a complex. And it's a bit too close to Little Chef as well. So.
I love the Little Chef.
They're gone bust.
It's banging, to be fair.
They're gone bust.
Yeah.
And then, Sibba, we've been told that you've got a very nice podcast voice. In fact, me and James were humiliated in a meeting. We were having a meeting with a client about podcasts, and a lady there called out our podcast and said, like, there's a girl on it. She had a really nice voice, and I just wanted to listen to her, not you twos.
Oh, no, stop it. I'm actually shy. No, I don't know. Just... That's a nice
All right,
compliment.
We don't need to talk about it, it's fine. We just give you a compliment, it's fine.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's a slap in the face of the rest of us, isn't it? Yeah, should we just get stuck in? It's some fish beef. Fish beef between Arby's and McDonald's. With Arby's, which is another fast food restaurant in America, basically claiming that the fillet of fish. Is it fillet or fillet?
The posh way or the non-posh way?
Fillet of fish is a piece of shit. Basically, they're saying that it's a piece of shit. And to deliver that message, they've had Pusha T, who's a rapper, by the way, Gareth. they got him to make a diss track against the fillet of fish.
No. So Pusha T, a rapper, thank you, James, an older rapper. He's been around the block a little bit, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. He had a great album out in 2019. I think it was produced by Kanye West. Let's not talk about Kanye West again. Not this time. But... this story highlights that he has been a bit around a while. What's his beef with McDonald's exactly?
He claims that he wrote the I'm Loving It jingle, and they only paid him a pitiful $1 million, and he's pissed about that.
So what's he doing to retaliate? What's his retaliation?
I just told you, he wrote a diss track with Arby's, basically calling out the fillet of fish for being square and not made of fish, and saying how he made the whole company and now he's going to tear it down.
It is square though, so he's not wrong. It's also really nice.
First of all, I am very passionate about food. McDonald's is, I think, the go-to comfort food, okay? And you've got fillet of fish. You know what? Listen, you can slap in some fish fingers into the oven, put some tartar sauce and a burger, but it just isn't the same, you know, when getting it from McDonald's with those McDonald's fries. One say it's not the best thing that they sell, yes, but does it deserve a diss track? No, because you're bitter that your jingle didn't get the money that you deserve. Okay, fair enough, you know? No, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I feel like I should get up and start applauding. That was like a State of the Union.
I mean, I think come the apocalypse, right, and like we're all raiding, like, you know, fast food joints for whatever they have left in their fridges. The fillet of fish is the last thing that's going to go. Like,
it's a shame because it goes off the quickest as well.
It's the freshest.
So we all know the jingle. Yeah. It's been around for many years. It is a very popular jingle. Do we feel aligned with him, that he has beef that is quite rightfully not being dealt with by McDonald's only paying him $1 million? Do we think that he should have been paid more? How much was he paid?
He says, well, this is how rich he is. He said it was either $500,000 or $1 million. So the fact that you don't even know.
I think he's probably like clutching at straws now. Maybe like work's dried up
a bit.
Paper
straws, yeah.
Paper straws now, yeah, to be sustainable. But I think work's probably dried up a bit. So he's like, oh, let me just start a fight, try to get some more money. Probably doesn't need the money.
And what do we think about it as a piece of like advertising? Is it working?
No.
I think it probably is. Like, people like beef. People like arguments. And also, I don't think this is bad for McDonald's either. Like, I think this is great for them. I'm sure, I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of all in on it together.
Would you reckon they're going to drop him another cool $500,000?
Maybe. Or maybe they get Drake on the, because they had beef, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Drake and Pusha T's. They get Drake to do the response.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like the biggest sort of marketing shitstorm ever.
Do you know what it seems like to me, though? I feel like he's just regretting his decisions. Like, he didn't get his contract right, you know, why haven't you got royalties? So it almost seems as though he's just being a bit bitter, you know, and it makes him look a bit like a bit of a loser.
I don't know about that, because he's getting paid twice. To get handsomely rewarded and then handsomely rewarded again, complaining about your handsome reward, that's smart business.
All right, there we go. Look, it's an interesting story. What's the other one that you want to highlight, James? There's another interesting one. Actually, this goes back to a bit of beef on the Cool Shit podcast a couple of weeks ago.
It was picked up by a listener.
James's rude comment about Gina's glasses. And where do you get your glasses again?
Ace and Tate.
Okay, there we go. I'd like to add that this podcast is not sponsored by Ace and Tate, but we do have an Ace and Tate story.
That was a very smooth transition.
It was.
So basically, Ace and Tate, who, as you said, are a glasses company, have released a load of ads for sunglasses, but rather than showing any products at all, they've showed a load of people squinting, looking up into the sun.
I love that.
Genius.
I think it's great.
I think it's brilliant. So to advertise a product without having to show the product, just to demonstrate the need for it, and it's so timely as well, now the sun's finally come out, like, I think it's spot on.
I think it doubles down on the sort of like the new school company that they are, and approaching things in a new school way. Exact right timing, right? Like, we've got a sunny week. That feeling of not having sunglasses and you want to have sunglasses is real. It's real feels, right? Like, we all know that feeling.
Plus, like, putting on sunglasses for the first time in the year is like an act of willful optimism, right? Even if it's like 10 degrees and breezy out, if the sun comes out, I'll have sunglasses on, shorts, sliders, with a warm can of Stella. Also not sponsored by them.
I kind of see you as a sunglasses on at 3 o'clock in the morning sort of guy.
No comment. Officer.
The actual like photographs are really good as well. Like, all different types of people, all squinting. And you, also then you squint to look at the advert and you're like, oh shit, that's really good.
Did you?
Did you
squint to look at the advert?
With these
I think you need to turn
glasses.
The screen brightness down.
No. But I think it's smart. I liked it a lot.
Do Ace and Tate sell their own sunglasses, or do they sell branded sunglasses?
It's all their own. It's all their own
stuff. That. I'm not getting Ace and Tate sunglasses.
Why?
Well, that's the thing. I looked at it and I thought, this is sick. I'm going to go get some Ray-Bans.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think sunglasses are sunglasses unless they're Ray-Bans, basically.
I mean, I'd go and get them because I need the prescription because I can't see otherwise.
Cool. Look at you, Mr. Creative Director. Sunglasses aren't sunglasses unless they're Ray-Bans.
Right, I'll take that back, right?
Someone's
like, it's cool to buy like a 99p pair or £3 pair from like
a market or something.
Like from a market, a petrol station, right? Like, allow it. But when you're spending a bit of money, like a £50 pair of sunglasses, it's just a bit wrong.
They're about 100 from Ace and Tate.
Well, then exactly. I'm definitely getting Ray-Bans.
You're going to get Ray-Bans,
then.
Yeah. It doesn't make
sense. You know what? I disagree, though. Because I feel like Ray-Bans, I feel like now everyone wears them. It is
now? Where have you been for the...
They've always worn them.
No, I just feel like I see it everywhere. I feel like it's overworn. So I'd rather have a pair of sunglasses that I have never seen and get more influenced by it. Like, I feel like Ray-Bans are just basic.
Do they have an Ace and Tate logo on them? Do we know?
No. None of their glasses.
See,
they're hideous.
And I feel like logoless clothing is getting more and more popular because I feel like people don't feel as though they're owned by a brand.
Okay, interesting. But unbranded logoless clothing or logoless clothing from a brand, that's a different thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that is a different thing.
That's a good. Yeah,
what? Why are you talking in riddles?
So I'm talking about, are you going to H&M and getting like a bog standard like sweatshirt that's unbranded, or
I don't go to H&M.
Or are you going and buying, I don't know, whatever brand, so like a Champion hoodie with no Champion on, because that's a different thing, isn't it?
Good point, actually.
I'll go subtle branding. Yeah,
flashiest shirt in front.
What do you mean? What?
Look, James is wearing a white t-shirt with a checkered shirt.
No, a very loud Burberry shirt.
Is it actually?
Oh, I didn't say
it
was Burberry.
It's not that loud.
Is it Burberry? We need confirmation.
It is.
It is Burberry, yeah.
right, okay, well, like, obviously he's clearly a logo monster. Yeah. Look at him.
But the logo's white on white, so you don't really see
it.
It
is subtle, yeah.
But I don't know, the check.
The print
kind
is
of,
not subtle.
No. All right, let's talk about your outfit, Gina.
What's wrong with my outfit?
Well, let's not do that. Let's not talk about everyone's outfit.
Both my glasses, now my outfit. Gosh.
Do you know what someone said? Someone said, actually listening to the podcast, they thought that you might actually hit James.
I mean, I might.
That's why I sit really far away from you.
Yeah, yeah. I might. We might come to that. Or if you guys want to sponsor a charity boxing match, we know who to submit, me and James.
God, Gareth, the kids
are bickering. I mean, like, yeah, fine. Okay. You heard it here first. Pay for view. Right. Who's the agency behind this one?
Base Design. Well done, Base Design.
Base Design? I've never heard of them. Anyone heard of Base Design?
No. They're probably based not here.
The reason I ask is because it felt like, it reminded me of sort of like good old fashioned advertising, like admin advertising.
Yeah.
As opposed to sort of like new school. And it's interesting that it's come from a design agency. Mm. I thought it would probably have come from one of the big networked agencies because it had that sort of feel about it.
Exactly. It's just eye catching. I think that's what the game of advertising and marketing is right now. And I think they just smashed it. So Gina, your Ace and Tape people. They did great.
They did. It was actually their second best sales day the weekend after the launch of the campaign. So
wow.
Everyone went to get their sunglasses, but not Gareth because he only wears Ray-Bans.
Interested to know. I think those are two interesting stories there. Does anyone have a challenge? Has anyone got anything interesting that they want to talk about? I'm looking at you, Gina. Last time you brought pubes.
I don't have pubes this time, but I have got tattoos in interesting places.
Just so you know, we do need some context of what Gina said. You go back and you listen to podcast episode 2.
Yeah.
And we'll get some context for what she just said.
And also the context of I've got tattoos in interesting places. That's a bit.
Have you got tattoos?
I don't. Do you?
I don't have any tattoos. I'm not a logo. I'm not doing it. I'm not branding myself.
Yeah. Do you guys, Siva?
No. I'll never.
Don't.
James?
No.
Wow. Okay, well,
I just shook my head on the podcast. That's good.
Yeah. You need to tell the people what you're doing. Yeah, so basically Duolingo, which is like a language app. It's a little owl. I don't know. The owl went actually like viral over lockdown on TikTok because someone was in an owl costume and like, yeah, anyway, doing like funny stuff.
You digress. Carry on.
For World Tattoo Day, which was on the 21st, so a couple of days ago.
World Tattoo Day.
World Tattoo Day. I know, how sad. There's a tattoo day. World Tattoo Day.
Do you think that anyone that's got a tattoo looks forward to World Tattoo Day?
I don't think
finally,
so.
The day that I can really show it off.
But they basically poked fun at people that have tattoos in different languages. I feel like a lot of the time it's like British people that have a Chinese tattoo on their arm or on their back or something. And they shared this campaign where it's like showing people in loads of different countries getting tattoos. And cut long story short, after the film, it's basically to say, you know, tag us in your tattoos or send us photos and we can translate it for you. Because obviously it's a language app. So I thought that was really cool.
Really cool.
It's like funny, but it's also, I wonder if people actually did send in
their stuff. So can I just get this right? It's one of those language apps where you point your phone at it and it will translate.
No. I've actually been doing it for 2 years, so I know it very well.
Oh, Spanish,
I've been
it?
Learning.
Spanish.
Yeah.
Espanol, I think that's right.
2 years.
But yeah, so it's
been seeing you out in Malaga, mate. Yeah.
Benetton.
But yeah, anyway, you do like 5 minute lessons each day, just like little kind of Spanish games, and you slowly, very slowly learn a language.
Desilvesa, por favor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you need to know. Yeah, so it teaches you like slowly daily. So they're basically saying, after that campaign was launched, send us in your tattoos that are in other languages. Because if you don't speak that language, you don't know what it says. It might be wrong. So yeah.
So do they do anything afterwards though?
You tweet Duolingo or you tag them on Instagram and there's an email option as well. And a few
retro.
Well yeah, I didn't realise this. You get invited to a Paris tattoo parlor to get any embarrassing mistakes.
That's
fixed.
What I'm saying. Oh,
that
okay.
is quite cool. That's quite cool because yeah, there could be some horrific.
What?
Ones.
So you get that they'll pay for you to get out to Paris, will they?
I'm guessing so.
So all I'm thinking now is I'm tempted to get a bad tattoo so I can get a free trip to Paris.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good campaign. We're always looking for new ways that are relevant.
To be fair, Duolingo, like I said, are doing really well. They went viral on TikTok with their owl character.
Who?
Kind of Duolingo. What? Why
as
are you
a,
saying who?
As an owl. Oh, an owl wow. joke.
Oh, that was tragic. But yeah, so they're doing well with that and they're continuing to, clearly.
My question would be, I don't know, I'm just going to put it out there. If you decide to get a tattoo in a different language, do you think that's more personal and that people only basically get it for themselves. Because, so if I get a tattoo right in a different language, you're not going to understand what it says.
But there'll be billions of people from that country that understand what it is. It's not that person.
Billions of people from that country?
Whatever country it is. I'm guessing there's a billion people in most countries.
But hang on.
What, you think there's a billion people in each country?
In most countries? How many people do you think are there?
This is a good question, right? How many people are there in the UK, according to Gina?
Like a billion?
Oh my god.
I think it's about, it's about 60 million.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Millions of people that would speak that language from multiple countries that would understand the tattoo.
Back to Siva's point.
My actual question.
Sorry.
I just feel like, you know, would people actually want to do this? Like, would the tattoo be too personal for them? Do they want to share it online?
That's why there's an email option if you're too embarrassed.
Okay.
You can email Duolingo and they can translate what it says.
Has anyone thought about getting a tattoo? Gina, have you thought about it? I feel like you look like you should have a tattoo.
No? Not for me. I don't like needles.
Wait, Gareth, what does that mean? She looks like she should have a tattoo.
I'm not edgy enough for Gareth. I don't wear Ray-Bans.
I just think like but you
do
look
I
like...
I look like I should have
no.
a tattoo?
No,
you don't. You really don't look like
that. Do I?
I think you should have like a St. George's cross on your
Get it in Benidorm with your Burberry shirt.
Which is a nice segue. Siva, we were talking before, and I believe you hadn't done your homework. Have you miraculously found a story that you want to challenge this week with?
Do you know what? So I don't know if anyone's listened to our podcast, episode 2 that was, I think. But I really do love my shoes. And I saw this ad that Nike did. It was basically this 3D ad that looks absolutely amazing. So it was... It's got, you know, the famous orange Nike box popping out, and out of it comes the Air Max Nike celebrating its 35th anniversary. So what I basically wanted to ask you guys is the future of advertising. Do you think that's what we're going to have? We're going to see loads of that going around.
Like 3D billboards.
Yeah, I think so.
That style has been around for about a couple of years, and there's a few brands that I've seen done it. I've seen...
Balenciaga and Fortnite did it
Yeah. I've seen Amazon do it with a couple of series.
TV shows. That was Amplify. They're really big on doing that, the agency.
I think it's one of those things. It's just a trend. I feel like that technology has probably been knocking around for a while, and there's a designer who's been trying to get it away, and someone's actually listened to him, and then it's now a trend, which is my problem with the story, because I think of Nike, I think of them being on the front foot, but at the forefront of sort of new and exciting stuff, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, I've seen this before, Nike. Don't get me wrong, it looks super cool, and if you don't know what we're talking about, it's like if you go to sort of Times Square or Piccadilly Circus, you get these huge moving boards, and just by design, they make it look really 3D, like it's popping out into the street. And it is really stunning and eye-catching. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like, Nike, like you're behind the curve on this.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little bit gimmicky as well by this point. Like, I do think this was one of the better versions that I've seen, to be fair, because it does actually kind of... It's properly 3D. Like, some of them have been a bit naff. There's like a tiger jumping around the screen and it doesn't really do much. Whereas this actually does look like a giant Air Max hologram. So yeah. I'm kind of okay with it, but it's a bit meh for me. Like, it's okay.
Oh, I really liked it.
Maybe meh is a bit harsh. I don't know. Well, what do you think? Would that make it in for you?
It wouldn't for me. Not like, listen.
To be fair, it's actually quite a strong week of cool shit this week. There's fierce competition. Mm. It would have made it in last week.
Like, none of my stuff's gonna ever come in.
Oh, poor Siva.
Yeah, but you got the best voice in podcasting, so yeah. You've got a seat. Whatever, it's fine.
Just ASMR. Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a story and a question. Right, does everyone here know who Dude with a Sign is?
Yes.
So it's an Instagram account. Does anyone want to explain it? Like, Gina, why don't you explain what Dude with a Sign
does? Yeah, he stands... Well, it's an Instagram account, and he literally stands on the street with signs. And it's usually things that we're all thinking.
This is his last one. So empty liquor bottles are not home decor.
I don't know if they are.
No, I like
Stop connecting me to random Wi-Fi. I think it's just things that we're like, we feel like in our everyday life. A while back when this account went big, I was like, this is actually quite interesting because this guy can obviously write well. He's a funny guy. And it turns out he's an Australian guy. And I'm like, wait a sec, he's not writing it. And I felt a little bit let down. He's not writing it. It's actually an account run by Fuck Jerry. Now, does anyone follow Fuck Jerry?
I
always assumed it wasn't him, but I didn't know it was Fuck Jerry. Wow.
So, Fuck Jerry, just to give you the background, is a meme site. It's been around since 2011, and it's one of the hugest meme sites. It's quite irreverent and funny. But they diversified somewhere along the line, and the owner called Elliot T. Bell. He started Jerry Media. He started Jerry Media so that brands could get involved. I think they were charging $50,000 per post on Fuck Jerry. Mm-hmm. Now, he then did the advertising for the failed Fire Festival.
I had a feeling it was linked. I did have a feeling. I don't know why.
So then, obviously, he had his pants pulled down about that.
Yep.
But then, have we all seen the documentary?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Which media company made that? Jerry Media. So he then
went and
made
it. Yeah. He's still monetized off it.
Yeah, he's still monetized.
Cheeky. Okay.
So this guy's obviously quite savvy, even when he makes mistakes, right?
He's done a push of tea. He monetizes mistakes.
There you go. And then what I found quite interesting is that this is just an example of good social media and how to do branded social media. So obviously he's now got different outlets. So he's got Dude with a Sign. Now, did you know there's Dudette with a Sign?
Oh. Yes, I do. And I wanted to mention her, but I'm glad you did first.
Okay, so I follow Dudette with a Sign. She doesn't quite have the following of Dude with a Sign.
Bloody patriarchy.
But she's still, you know, she's got a decent amount of followers. And I saw this one here. As we can see, I'm just going to show the guy. It says, running away from your problems counts as running. And I was like, is that branded? What is that? And then the next one says, so wear the right shoes. Then I looked into it and I'm like, all right. So this is like, she's standing outside a Lululemon and it does say ad on the bottom.
Yeah. Sorry, firstly, I'm just imagining you like late at night, strutting back and forth, like post-its all on your wall. Finally, I figured it out. Like Serpico.
Contemporary reference there, James.
Yeah.
As a copywriter yourself, you have to work along those lines where you work with a brand, you're working with social media, and it is a fine line to tread, right? I'm sure that there's plenty of times that you want to be a little bit more out there and you're pulled back, but then, you know, you have to pay off that a brand can only speak a certain way. Now, this is where it's interesting. With these community sites, meme sites, it's kind of a bit dirty to see like an advertised meme on there. You don't really want it, do you?
Yeah, no, that actually pisses me off a lot with certain pages that I follow. Like, I follow like a history meme page because I'm a legend. And I saw they're just like advertising like a cryptocurrency trading website. I just thought, oh, fuck this. Like,
I think you have to be quite eagle-eyed to know that this is not just a girl with a sign. Do you know what I mean? And then there is a bigger media idea behind it.
I do think it's pretty clever. Like, I do kind of rate the slight sort of, I don't know, Machiavellian cheekiness of it.
What do we think then, James? We've had a couple of stories there. Like, as it stands, out of the stories that we have discussed today, what is there room for and what isn't there room for?
Oh, now you're asking. I feel like I can't... Sorry, Siver. I feel like I can't put the Nike one in after kind of bashing it. Yeah, it was closer than, because Batman was never getting in. This had a chance.
Yeah.
So maybe next time you might get in.
If there's a next time, if they invite you back,
I know.
Who knows?
So that's out.
No,
you've been eliminated. Goodbye.
Right.
Between see things, I don't really know what the angle is with your story, Gareth, because I think it's an interesting talking point, but I don't know if it's cool shit. Whereas I think the Duolingo thing is just a nice, neat campaign. But I don't know if that's too similar to kind of like to the Ace and Tate one, because we've kind of gone quite campaign heavy this week.
James, there was one more story that you wanted to talk about, wasn't there? Which was very artsy and it was an interesting take on our emotions. The colour of our feels.
Well, it didn't. I did the quiz and it didn't show me the colour.
Shall I say what it is first?
Yeah. Let's
okay. Before you start spouting off about what you didn't like about it.
Here's the thing with pubes. So there's this website that creates like a digital sculpture that's meant to be a visual representation of your thoughts based on your answers to a load of questions. I don't really know how it does it, but there'll be some kind of like philosophical, moral, and then kind of more practical, some aesthetic questions. And it kind of morphs this blob into different shapes and colours according to your answers.
And did you do it?
I did do it, and I got quite pissed off around question 7 when it started to get quite spiky, which probably proved its point. But yeah, well, actually, I'll show you mine. You won't be. I might put this in cool shit. So that's what I look like, apparently.
It does show the colours.
Yeah, it's got you. Literally, is the colour of what you're wearing today.
Actually, is.
Oh yeah, it is.
That's
mine. Isn't. Mine's got pink in it.
Wait a sec. They're all very similar.
No, mine are
Siva. Thank you, Siva. Bringing the chains, the different colours, the different forms.
It's got a bit.
Ooh, it's like a twister. Yeah.
Mine's spiky. It didn't twist.
You are
so
quite
you two are quite spiky characters. Siva obviously has a career in ASMR for chilling people
that's
out.
Too much. It looks so smooth. Yeah. And I'm a sucker for these like personality quizzes. Like, you know, like the BuzzFeed ones where it's like order a Burger King, we'll tell you where you should go on holiday. This does curiosity, flexibility, open mindedness, and empathy.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my results? So curiosity, I've got 99.75%.
Wow, that is mad.
Okay. I'm very curious.
Very curious person.
Flexibility, 38.67%, which I think is low because the only day I can't do is Tuesdays. open-mindedness, bang on 50%, which I think is a good thing. You don't want to be too open-mindedness. Like,
yeah. You end up with all sorts of problems, don't you?
You don't want to be having a conversation with the Nazi at the bar saying, I feel you. and then empathy, I've got 7%. So I'm very curious about how your day's going, but I will not give a shit about it.
That doesn't shock me.
I mean, 7% empathy is pretty fucking low, mate. That's awful.
I'm
kind of
scared. It's scary.
Gina, what was your empathy?
19%.
Yeah, exactly.
Which actually shocks me because I'm such an empathetic person. I think I answered the question wrong.
Also, I can vouch for this. Like, Gina.
Oh, you can vouch for her empathy. Whatevs.
Listen, I know my empathy is like 71%, but I.
71!
You're 10 times more empathetic.
You're all the feels. All the feels. Okay, so is this a contender? What do we feel about? Like, I'm going to open it out to you guys.
No, I don't think it is, really. It's just a quiz and it tells you your percentages and makes up some colours.
You're just angry that you're not empathetic.
I am so pissed off.
I disagree. Do you know why? Because I did the test and the first thing I did was send it to my group chat full of friends. Mm. Who's like, guys, do this. I'll say it's cool.
I think we're living in a moment of sort of like unique art. So if you look at NFTs, they are finding ways of creating something that's unique. And if we can create things that are related to our personalities, that are art, that are unique, and there's only one of them, I think that's quite interesting.
I think
right?
It's a really clever way of doing it, because people are so kind of egotistical and narcissistic, or at least I am apparently, that they'll always want to do these personality quizzes. And then you get a little, it's like you get a key ring at the end of something. You get a little something that is meant to be a visual representation of you. So I think it's pretty neat. I quite like it.
Right, well, sorry, Gina, I vote in as well. I'm voting in. Cool. Siva's up voting in, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
That
right.
Counts as a win for you, Siva.
Yes, I'll take that.
Before we go, I should say that we have Siva, obviously from Salford, but part of the Salford initiative at the moment, we have a T-shirt that you can buy that will support the Red Cross effort in Ukraine. I've done my charity bit now. Now I have to do the bit about where do we find cool shit, James? Can you do this in one? Nice and smooth. Let's go.
ZachAgency.com/cool shit.
Easy.
Yes.
And you didn't say www.
No, I didn't, because you made me. You kind of embarrassed me last time. I didn't realise people weren't saying that anymore. No one told me. I didn't get the email.
Okay, if you want to find out what goes into the newsletter, what doesn't, go to where James said. Girls, thank you very much for joining us again today. It's a lovely day.
No problem, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you notice a difference in our tone, it's because this was lunchtime and usually it's the evening, but you can't shut us down. James, thank you very much.
My pleasure as always, Gareth.
I'll see you next week.